Welcome to the Northeast Cannabis Chronicle. I'm Russ Belville. Joining us today is another fine podcaster from the Northeast. We've got Eli Harrington joining us. Eli, welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ. Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor. Big fan of your work. All frequent listener.
Oh, thank you very much. Let's tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast if they're interested in getting into much more fine detail about what's going on in the state of Vermont.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, like everything else with Vermont cannabis, things are evolving quickly. And I started Vermont to One as a podcast, I think about 6 or 8 months ago. I was interested in the format. I was doing some writing on a blog called Vermont to One, and I've actually co-founded a site called Heady Vermont, H-E-A-D-Y, with my partner Monica. So the podcast has been a really fun way to engage with folks. As a former video guy, you don't always have time to do video, especially when you're starting up and bootstrapping. So yeah, the Vermont to One podcast, it's on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud. You know, we talk to people who are here in Vermont, whether they're politicians, and we talk to other folks around the industry. We were just at NECAN not too long ago, talking with Mark Shepard and those kinds of guys. So, you know, and we're rapidly expanding. So, you know, Vermont as a cannabis market is a place that's kind of just waking up to everything that folks like you guys have been doing for years out west. So there's a lot of information to share, a lot of cool products to talk about, a lot of businesses and organizations that we want to promote. So it's a great place to be, and you know, we're happy to be the first and so far only cannabis media outlets who are talking about this with the perspective of compassionate, informed locals who are certainly not out there for the money. So you know, shout out to any of the sponsors out there in New England too.
Well, that's fantastic. And Vermont, we've got our eyes on Vermont because you guys are poised to become the first state to pass adult cannabis use legalization without having to go through the initiative process like we had to in the first 8 states. Tell us your feelings about how that has proceeded through the legislature, because I know they had to make some compromises that we weren't too happy with.
Well, that's exactly it, you know, and I think to step back, I think there are, I think Keith Strupp just wrote there are 26 states that do not have ballot initiatives, right? So the Vermont Constitution, the only way something becomes law is through the legislature, right? So there are no binding referendums. And what that does, if you think about cannabis movements around the country, typically, you know, you'll have one or two or three different groups that'll organize. Ideally, they come together. But there's kind of a clear tent, you know, there's a yes, there's a pro, and there's a no. Without having that referendum process, people have to make a lot more decisions about which aspects of laws they will and will not support. And I think that's something that we learned last year going through the process where we had a regulate bill that, you know, people described as corporate, and it did not allow for home grow. So you had last year in 2016, a governor who wanted it to happen, but advocates, it was hard to organize, and you know, cannabis folks are naturally independent. It was hard to get people to find those compromises, and ultimately, because that home cultivation and legalization and criminal justice aspect wasn't included, we had a lot of folks who, you know, were huge proponents and had been in the trenches for decades. You know, folks like Fran from Vermont Homegrown, who I know has been on the show, you know, who had to say draw a line. And so, in some cases like Ohio, you'll have places where there are referendums and people say, this is just too bad, I can't support it, it's not progress at all. In places like Maine, you'll have compromises where, you know, there'll be fractures, but people will come together and kind of suck it up. But for the rest of us, you know, it really is issue by issue, because you have to do a lot of political calculation. And at the end of the day, you not only have to convince the voters that it's okay, but you know, you have to convince the elected officials, and most of them don't know much about cannabis, don't necessarily want to know much about cannabis. You know, so it's been an interesting process up here in Vermont. And I would say the biggest lesson that we can take out of this, and the one that's really important to share with folks, is really building those coalitions, you know, and building real coalitions and having people who will go out there as individuals who are leaders in those communities and talk to other, you know, growers, or talk to other media folks, or talk to other, you know, online activists and say, you know, this is why this compromise can or cannot work. Here's why it will or will not work. And to actually have people who understand the politics and say, well, listen, you know, we're not going to get 6 plants here in Vermont this year. I think that the toughest compromise was waiting an extra year for legalization, but we came close to being in a spot where you had people who were generally favorable to reform saying, I want regulation, but I'm not interested in legalization. And other folks saying, I want the criminal justice reform, but I don't want the regulation. So I got to say, I think the strategy of separating the issues early in the year was really a good one. You know, take legalization as one issue, take regulation as one issue. And then the compromise that happened at the end of the year was even more impressive, because it really is, it is something that I think everybody can live with and still, like you said, is a historic step forward. I mean, convince, you know, 180 people, the majority of whom are senior citizens, when you're talking, you know, when the people on the other side of the table are teachers and cops, that's really tough to do. So we're just lucky there have been a lot of grassroots advocates here in Vermont and around the country, you know, who are giving us the evidence, who are sharing the facts, you know, who are pointing to the sky not falling. And, you know, again, it's, if it weren't for the OG activists and people who have sacrificed so much, we wouldn't be able to do this. And I couldn't get on Twitter and, you know, and put facts out there that you share.
Yeah. And it's just interesting to me how, as legislatures now are tackling this issue, you've got Vermont moving forward with allowing home grow, but not pot shops. You got New Jersey moving forward with allowing pot shops, but no home grow. It's really weird how this shakes out. And the latest step, of course, is now that the legislature has passed this, it's sitting or making its way to the desk of Governor Phil Scott, the Republican in Vermont. And he seems a little reticent to want to sign this, and he cites highway safety. I looked up the figures. It seems like Vermont's a pretty safe place to drive, and you guys have been smoking a lot of pot for quite a while. So what's going on there with the governor?
You know, it's a safe place to do a lot of things. You know, another interesting stat about Vermont, we think of it as being this hippie liberal place. Vermont, there's almost no gun control. You know, we have some of the loosest gun laws in the country, but we also barely have any gun violence. Huh. So I think people can come to terms with this idea. You know, Governor Scott, he's somebody who's been fairly moderate. You know, he's somebody who's been more practical and kind of get along. Not coming from the legislature, he's not kind of a deal maker. But, you know, we're lucky here in this state where we have our lieutenant governor, David Zuckerman. This guy has been advocating publicly and running on the issue since the 90s. Worked for Bernie, organic farmer with a ponytail, right? We have him as our lieutenant governor and Phil Scott as our Republican governor. So, you know, I think it kind of shows you that I think Vermonters in general are more issue conscious than party conscious. And that's something that's really benefited us. So, you know, if we're handicapping it, I go back in history and I think about 2004 when S-76, our medical marijuana law, passed, which, again, that was a way more difficult battle. With people having to do so much. I mean, you know, Mark Tucci is the guy who inspired me, one of the original Vermont patients here. At that point in time, we had Governor Jim Douglas, who was way more conservative. He's getting calls from the Bush White House telling him to veto this thing. And ultimately he says, I'm not going to support this. I oppose it. I don't like marijuana. I don't think medical marijuana should happen, but I'm going to respect the will of the legislature and the will of the people. So I think ultimately things are being drawn out here quite a bit in Vermont, but I really think that ultimately that's where we're going to get to, where the governor can say, listen, I don't support this, you know, keep all his friends in law enforcement happy. Say, I don't support this, I don't endorse this, but the process has happened, you know, all this time and energy has been spent to pass this bill, and I'm not going to stand in the way of that.
Yeah, we hope that is the outcome for the state of Vermont. And it's very interesting to me, too, how you went from having a previous governor, Pete Shumlin, who was quite supportive of the issue, to this Republican governor, Phil Scott. And like you mentioned, Vermont seems to be more issue than party. I mean, you're the state that gave us Bernie Sanders and Pat Leahy, for God's sake. And
damn right.
So is it safe to say, though, that a Vermont Republican might be a different sort of animal than your typical, say, Texas or Alabama Republican?
Well, that is certainly safe to say, and I think we're very proud of that. You know, I mean, traditionally, there were 100 years. It took 100 years for Vermont to get a Republic or a Democratic governor here. You know, I mean, the party is what's changed from 1860 to, you know, Phil Hoff in, I think, 1960 or 64. It was only Republicans, and they used to have the East-West rule, where there was a Republican in the Senate from the east side of the state and then one from the west side of the state. So, you know, it's a place where I think it's really more libertarian. Vermont is a live and let live kind of place. You know, we don't tell you who to love. We don't tell you what to do in your house. We don't make you register your weapons. But, you know, if you got to get pulled out of the ditch or get your driveway shoveled out, we're going to help you. And I think ultimately it's that kind of coming together. And you got to remember, Vermont's a tiny place population-wise. So, you know, I think kind of community-level discussions really matter more here. And you have people who are willing to step outside of a party orthodoxy and look at the issue. I mean, we have one of the senators, Joe Benning. He's a Republican from the Northeast Kingdom. You know, this is a guy who became a lawyer because he got a BS pot bust when he was in high school in New Jersey in the 70s. You know, so he's somebody who's up in the reddest part of the state as a registered Republican and saying, look, here's a common sense thing I know from experience. So I think we're really lucky because being such a small state, having a really accessible democracy, you get to hear more of those stories. And our legislators are people we run into all the time. You know, they're people that we know, they're coaches and teachers and farmers and all that good stuff. So, you know, they're listening. And I think they really deserve credit because a lot of them were not ready to go along with us and not want to talk about this, you know, and we're really nervous, especially a lot of moderate Democrats. You know, I mean, a lot of folks who are getting pressure from their school boards, they have Democrat next to their name and they're in Chittenden County, you know, right in Burlington, one of the most liberal places in the country. So I do think we are very, very fortunate. And I think that, again, it's a credit to grassroots lobbying efforts, and it's people getting out there, making phone calls, showing up, you know, putting stuff on Facebook. You know, it's not just buying advertising and making TV ads and slogans. You need that stuff too. And we've had, you know, a lot of great help from the national partners. I mean, MPP's been in here for the last few years, very active. But, you know, really at the end of the day, it's people stepping up and being able to say publicly, I support this. This is common sense. Let's turn the page for a better Vermont. So I got to give our representatives credit for listening because a lot of them came a long way in the course of 1, 2 years, 6 months, you know, 1 month in the case of some of them, who we had to convince. And ultimately that's why the bill ended up being, you know, less than a lot of people would have liked and slower than a lot of people would have liked. But, you know, I think appreciating that effort is really important, recognizing that. So, you know, it all starts from the grassroots and from people who listen to this show, who are inspired, who are informed, who are passionate, who care about their communities. It's making those phone calls. It's getting their friends to do it. You know, social media and Twitter are free. These are a lot of tools. There are a lot more tools out there that don't cost money and cost time. So I think it's really encouraging from, like you said, the state that gave us Bernie. Grassroots politics, common sense, you know, and people getting involved can make an impact on any issue. And we're really happy that we've made this big step forward, and fingers are crossed and we're knocking on wood that our governor doesn't commit political suicide and derail this.
Let's hope so. Well, Eli Harrington, we appreciate you coming on the Marijuana Agenda to fill us in on some of the details that are happening there in Vermont. Please give our listeners the links back to your show if they want to check out more.
Yeah, definitely. So you can find, if you want to know everything that's going on in Vermont, you know, check out headyvermont.com. We put a ton of stuff out there all week. It's original content written by us. We're out there. I'm doing this full time. And the Vermont Awana podcast, it's Vermont, VermontIJuana, Vermont Awana. The podcast, it's on SoundCloud and it's on iTunes. And we are going to have a fun episode coming up soon. But if people want to get a little bit more info on the political calculations behind the scene, we just talked about that in a recent episode and have some really good stuff coming up, and including hopefully what's next with a post-signed bill.
All right. Well, Eli, thanks for joining us again, and good luck with everything going on there in Vermont.